Good morning. My name is Javier Serrano. I've been preaching in this area of Alabama for about 16 years. And I have the privilege to know some of you, Brother Bill Cosman and his wife, Brother Matthew Dunaway and his family. And first of all, I would like to thank God for giving me this great opportunity to be here with you all. My English is not good. I'm going to try to do my best. And also, I would like to thank the elders and the whole church for inviting me to be with you and be your speaker. My family is here with me and Brother Hugo and his family, my two boys, my two girls, and my wife, Rosie. I'm going to try to do my best, and I'm going to ask you to pay very close attention. And I hope that my lesson or that lesson will be of well-being for your spiritual health. I'm going to preach a short lesson that is based on Malachi chapter 3, the last book of the Old Testament. I'm going to give you a short outline of my lesson. It's two different groups. And these two groups, there are servants of God's, of God. The first group and the second group, they were servants of God. In the verses 13, 14, and 15, we're going to find the attitude of the first group. And verses 16, 17, and 18, we're going to find the attitude of the second group. And jumping to the chapter 4 and verse 1 to 3, or 2 to 3, we will find the conclusion. Let's see the first group. God's complaint against his people. Verse 30. I'm going to invite you to go with me, or it's in the PowerPoint projector, the verses. God's complaint against his people. Verse 13 says, "Your words have been arrogant against me," says the Lord. "Yet you say, what have we spoken against you?" The sentence, "your word being arrogant against me," the literal meaning is, "your words have been hard against me." Please notice these three words, "hard against me." That means hearts against God. I believe that we can clearly see that the conclusion reached by this first group, that is vain or pointless to serve God, wounded the heart of God. It seems that these people did not know what they were doing because of their question. What have we spoken against you? The truth is that they knew exactly what they were doing and thinking. Some people who know the Hebrew language state that the grammar indicates a habit of speaking against God. They also say that they did not say directly to God, but to each other. It is possible that they did not even say it with words, but in their hearts. They said that it was useless to obey God. We must understand that these people were not necessary people who just began to know God and His will. They were people who had been serving God and knowing God for many years. Most likely they were tired of and annoyed by serving God. It seems that they did not realize the serious and dangerous situation in which they had fallen because of their question. What have we spoken against you? Verse 14 says, "What have we said? What have we said? You have said it is vain to serve God. And what profit is it that we have kept His charge, and that we have walked in mourning before the Lord of hosts?" In this verse, God makes it clear what they had said. They had said that it was useless to obey God or to obey the commandments of God and walk in mourning before the Lord. These people had seen a very difficult truth, that many times the righteous suffer and the sinners prosper. The faithful people of God, they have problems, difficulties, and the sinners seems that they are happy and prosper. These people did not understand the main purpose of serving God. This first group served God with a purpose in mind or in hopes of earning an early reward. Certainly, God blesses us economically and materially. But our God also expects the faithful to continue being faithful even when we do not have these material things. God has promised us a complete happiness in heaven, not on this earth. God has never hidden from us that on this earth we will face many sufferings of all kinds. And we need to understand that many times we will have to walk before the Lord in mourning or suffering, and that we do not serve God for a material or earthly reward, but because we love Him and to obtain by His grace eternal life. Verse 15. So now we call the arrogant blessed. Not only are the doors of wickedness built up, but they also test God and escape. The sentence "built up" is a language for the construction language, but it means being blessed or prosper. So in verse 15 says, so now we call the arrogant blessed. Not only are the doors of wickedness built up, they also test God and escape. We can see that the conclusion reached by this first group was, the beloved of God are those who have more earthly things and pleasures of this world. They thought that the unbelievers were truly happy because they were prosper even when they were sinning, and were apparently escaping God's punishment. This first group wanted to be like the unbelievers because they were servants of God. They said, the sinner tests God and escape without punishment. Again, the people who knows the Hebrew language said that they challenged God to punish them for violating his laws. So the idea was that this first group thought that the sinners test God with a purpose in mind to challenge God to punish them, and God did not punish them. All of us can fall in the same situation as this first group. It does not matter how long we have been Christian or how many knowledge we have of the Bible. We can see in Psalm 73 that a servant of God named Asaph had this experience. Let's go to Psalm 73, please, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And let's read the experience of this servant of God named Asaph. Beginning with verses 1 to 3. It says, surely God is good to Israel, for those who are pure in heart. But as for me, my feet came close to stumbling. My step had almost slipped, for I was envious of the arrogant as I saw the prosperity of the wicked. Now, let's jump to verse 13 till 17. Surely in vain I have kept my heart pure and washed my hand in innocence, for I have been stricken all day long and chastened every morning. If I had said I would speak thus, behold, I will have betrayed the generation of your children. When I pondered to understand this, it was troublesome in my sight until I came into the sanctuary of God. Then I perceived the end. We can see that it was very difficult for this faithful servant of God. Continue reading in verse 25 and 26. Whom I have in heaven, says Asaph, whom I have in heaven but you, and besides you I desire nothing on earth. My flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. Jump into verse 28. But as for me, the nearness of God is my good. I have made the Lord God my refuge, that I may tell of all your works. For this faithful servant of God, it was difficult for him to understand the difference between the one who serves God and the one who does not serve God. He said in his own words that it was difficult for him to understand the difference in the end for those who does not serve God faithfully. Making an application for us, we may see people around us, and we may think that they really enjoy themselves and are happy. But it is a happiness not approved by God. It could be in dances, movies, clothes, trips, robberies, alcohol, drugs, sex, etc. We may see people around us who have one or more of these things, and we may be tempted to be like them. But we are seeing in this lesson that we heard God's heart when we practice what He does not approve of. Worse still, we will punish in hell. Now let's go back to Malachi chapter 3 and verse 16. Now we are going to see the attitude of the second group. The attitude of the second group is a completely different attitude. Verse 16. Then those who feared the Lord spoke to one another, and the Lord gave attention and heard it. And a book of remembrance was written before Him for those who feared the Lord and who esteemed His name. When the first group blasphemes against God and hurts God's heart, the second group defends and understands God's just judgment. The second group were those who feared the Lord and who esteemed His name. And this fear is not like being afraid of a wild animal or poisonous snake. It is a respectful and reverent fear. It is a fear who motivates us not to sin and not to disappoint God. This second group spoke to one another. I always ask myself when I read this passage, what was the conversation of this second group? Because the verse says that they spoke to one another. Surely they talk about their great sufferings, needs, and persecutions. But also they comforted each other. Without any doubt, they loved God and understood God's love for them, and decided to be faithful under any adverse circumstances. What they say to one another gained the attention of the Almighty. God inclined His ear and said, I like what they are talking about. And surely He called one of His angels and told him, bring my special book, the book of life. Bring my special book and write the names of these people, because they are special people to me. Verse 17. They will be mine, says the Lord of hosts, on the day that I prepare my own possession. And I will spare them as a man spares his own son who serves him. We can almost see how proudly God will say in the final day, they will be mine. What was I before becoming a Christian? 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 26 to 29 says, "For consider your calling, brethren, that there were not many wise according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. And God has chosen the wicked things of the world to shame the things which are strong. And the base things of the world and the despised God has chosen the things that are not, so that he may nullify the things that are, so that no man may boast before God. What was I before becoming a Christian? I was nothing. And I think the majority of us Christians, we were nothing. But what God did for us. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 9 and 10. Says, "But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, so that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light." Verse 10. "For you once were not people, but now you are the people of God. You had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy." We can see that the Apostle Peter is using all the words he can find to tell us how blessed we are in the kingdom of God, in his church. We are a chosen race, royal priesthood, holy nation, people for God's own possession. We were not people, but now we are the people of God. We haven't received mercy, but now we receive mercy. So I was nothing. And the majority of us were nothing. But God did a wonderful things with us. Verse 17 continues saying of Malachi chapter 3, verse 17 continues saying, that on the day that I prepare my own possession. The Spanish version says, "my special treasure." You and I know that God has many treasures. And among all his great treasures, he has one that is very special. Imagine, brother, that special treasure can be you. It can be me. And we are not talking about a fable or fairy tale. We are talking about something real and true. What a wonderful grace of God. He is preparing us to become his special treasure. But he also knows that if it is necessary that to enter the kingdom of heaven, it has to be through many sufferings. Verse 17 continues saying, "And I will spare them as a man spares his own son who serves him." We need to remember that God is not preparing something with no value. He is preparing his special treasure. We cannot become his special treasure if we have the guilt of sin over us. But God says that for those who fear him and esteem him, he will forgive him or them as a man forgive his own son who serves him. So we need to conclude that if we become his special treasure, will be by his grace. And to obtain his grace, we need to be able to endure and continue being faithful under any adverse circumstance. Verse 18 is there. So you will again distinguish between the righteous and the wicked, between the one who serves God and the one who does not serve him. Then we will understand and recognize the false beliefs and erroneous thinking of the first group. And we will be able to recognize the second group for their faith, hope, and obedience to God, despite the many sufferings endured. One of the reasons why God allows his faithful servants to suffer is for them to become spiritually mature. Also, so that they know that the service they give to God is a powerful reason for them to be able to bear all kinds of sufferings with joy. The confusion that some of us have in this present time, one day we will look at and understand clearly. A wise Christian will not wait until the final day to look and understand clearly. It will be too late. The lesson is that from now on, we decide to serve God under any adverse situation in our lives. Now, let's see the conclusion. Chapter 4, verse 1 to 3. Verse 1, the day that God is preparing. Malachi chapter 4, verse 1. For behold, the day is coming, burning like a furnace, and all the arrogant and every evildoer will be chaff. And the day that is coming will set them ablaze, says the Lord of hosts, so that it will leave them neither root nor branch. Without any doubt, God has been very patient with us. He doesn't want nobody to be lost. He wants us all to repent and have eternal life. This is the reason why God has not been active yet. But it's not a reason for us to think that God will never punish the sinners and bless the faithful. The day will surely come like a burning furnace, and all the arrogant and evildoer will be chaff. It is figurative language, but very easy to understand. We can imagine a burning furnace and someone throwing dry chaff into it. In this way, God tells us clearly what will happen to the disobedient. Yes, he will punish them. God will not leave them neither root nor branch. Verse 2. But for you who fear my name, the Son of Righteousness will rise with healing in its wings, and you will go forth and escape about like calves from the stall. Definitely, God will bless the faithful. those who are willing to suffer for him and for his sake. Again, it is figurative language and very encouraging. There is nothing better for a person who is suffering than the healthy heat of the sun. And that is also a perfect medicine to heal. The absolute happiness for the faithful is represented in this figure, a calf jumping with joy. Verse 3. And you will tread down the wicked, for they shall be ashes under the soles of your feet, on the day which I am preparing, says the Lord of hosts. Yes, brethren, now we may not see the difference, but our God is preparing a day. Do not give up or be discouraged by the trials and sufferings that we are going through. Yes, it is true that there are people around us that maybe that seems to be happier than us or have more than us. Remember that God called us to fight the good fight, and that a reward and complete happiness, we will have it for sure if we continue faithful to the Lord, but not on this life, not on this earth, after this life in heaven. Thank you very much for your fine attention, and I hope this simple lesson will be good for you, for your spiritual well-being. Thank you to the elders and the whole church for their love, concern, and help. God bless you.